discourse appear in Vedana Sangita, Sagatavagga. It is called the Dart. In Pali, it is Salla Sutta.
Bhikkhu, the uninstructed worldlings, feels a pleasant feeling, a painful feeling, and a neither painful nor pleasant feeling. The instructed noble disciple too feels a pleasant feeling, a painful feeling, and a neither painful nor pleasant feeling. Therein, because what is the distinction, the disparity, the difference between the instructed noble disciple and the uninstructed worldling? Venerable Sir, our teachings are rooted in the Blessed One, guided by the Blessed One. Take course in the Blessed One. It would be good if the Blessed One would clear up the meaning of this statement. Having heard it from him, the bhikkhus will remember it. Then listen and attend closely, bhikkhu, I will speak. Yes, Venerable Sir, the bhikkhus replied. The Blessed One said this. Bhikkhu, when the uninstructed worldling is being contacted by a painful feeling, he sorrows, grieves and laments. He weeps, beating his breast, and becomes distraught. He feels two feelings, a bodily one and a mental one. Suppose they were to strike a man with a dart, and then they would strike him immediately afterwards with a second dart, so that the man would feel a feeling caused by two darts. So too, when uninstructed worldling is being contacted by painful feeling, he feels two feelings, a bodily one and a mental one. So you see that normal person get two darts, because that first they get the painful feeling regarding certain thing, and then he thinking about it, well, I had this misfortune, then I got this problem, and you know, so he has got this thing. So there are two darts coming to him to the same place, that's what Buddha is saying.
The first one is for matter, second one is for feeling, is that?
Materially, something to do with probably maybe his body, you know, he some sort of a bodily thing. Or you can say that although it is not his part of his body, he actually regards, let's say, stock market, you know, that materiality, that this is mine, and he holds that thing. And stock market is going down, and his mind is going down with that one, because he keep on thinking about the same thing, and so he get the two feelings. Being contacted by that same painful feeling, he harbors aversion towards it. When he harbors aversion towards painful feeling, the underlying tendency to aversion towards painful feeling lies behind this. Being contacted by painful feeling, he seeks delight in sense pleasure. For what reason? Because the uninstructed worldling does not know of any escape from painful feeling other than sensual pleasure. You know that you have seen this one happening all the time. Some people, when you know that, let's say his wife passed away or something like that, and then think about you know, trading alcohol, right? And some people go for drugs and sort of thing. And someone I can remember, his wife passed away, and he was asking me, should I play music now? Because he can't bear that one. So now only thing he knows how to get rid of this one is to seek delight in pleasure. So the music will actually, you know, sort of give him sort of a relief. So when you get the painful feeling, well, they do that. And some people put the music loud and sort of thing, you know, that there is a pain in the body, and then they keep on doing that just to get out of this one. So what is happening over here? The first, with the painful feeling, that there is this aversion, tendency to aversion, tendency to getting angry for that particular feeling. And now he's seeking delight in pleasure, sense pleasures. So now the underlying tendency is there, the underlying tendency for lust is within that person. You know, so the two things are growing. First, the anger, you know, is growing, and then lust is growing. Both are growing because of that one. So because of one pain, two things are happening. So the one important thing to understand We always do this. When you have the pain, you are looking for the pleasure. And similarly, you have the pleasure, well, it leads to the pain as well. That it is actually the second part of that one we are going to discuss, is that. So we are actually switching between those two most of the time. That's what we do. Most of the time, with or without knowing, well, I have the displeasure, let me have pleasure. So I either switch on the TV or something, music or whatever it is. So having the pleasure, you are looking for, keep on looking for pleasure. And then this pleasure is creating the pain again. So that these two things loop around. So now Buddha said that this, when he sees delight in sense pleasure, underlying tendency to lust for pleasure and feeling lies behind this, he does not understand as it really is the origin, the passing away, the gratification, the danger, and the escape in the case of these feelings. So that's very important as well. Origin, how do we know the origin about the feeling? It is actually the Samadhi Bhavana Sutta, where this that one seek delight in feeling, welcomes it, remain holding to it. So by doing that one, this delight in feeling come to arise. So as delight in feeling as condition, there is this craving and the clinging and then existence. Because of the existence of the very same craving, there is this birth. So one come to birth. So that's the arising with the birth. There's eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. There is this contact, and so again that we get the feeling, all those things. Right here you can see that the eye is eye, there is this form, depending on the two, this eye contact, and there is this the feeling arising. Now, so this thing is going around as well. You know, once we got the eye, we get this thing. And having got it, you know, we actually form the rest of the world that leading to the birth again to the same condition. So that is the origin. And then there is this the passing away. That is, one does not seek delight in, does not welcome it, does not remain hold into it. By doing that one, and then you can see the birth ceases and this thing. So that the other phenomena, the origin and the passing away. And then the third one is the gratification. So you see that there is a happiness, pleasure and happiness arise because of the feeling. The pleasurable feeling is pleasurable. There's no question about it. So for a second or 2 seconds or whatever time, that there is this sort of a pleasure. And the fourth one is the danger. The danger is that the feeling is impermanent. Whatever feeling that we have, it will cease. If I have the pleasure, next moment I may have this pleasure or the neutral feeling. So that the change in nature of the feeling itself. So that's the impermanent nature, is the danger. And the fifth one is the escape. Escape is that the only way to escape from this one is the abandonment of the desire and lust for those very same feeling. That's the only thing. That is, by liberating, one can actually do that one. So regarding this feeling, you see, there are 5 things. He does not know the origin, the passing away, the satisfaction, the danger, and the escape. Not knowing that one. So Buddha said that since he does not know these things, regarding these 2 feelings, that is for the pain and the pleasure, when he does not understand these things, the underlying tendency to ignorance in regard to neither painful nor pleasant feeling lies behind this. Since he does not understand this, at this particular one, the ignorance is actually coming up. So you might actually thinking that first if you take the painful feeling, now he seek delight to get out of it, so get the pleasure and all those things. And then would I get the pain again? Well, you get the pain, you know, ceasing the pleasure, you might get pain. Or ceasing the pleasure, you can actually get the equanimity state as well. You know, that we can get some sort of examples where this, let's take a, this is my example actually. It's that a person who is in the forest, you know, forest dwellers, hunter or someone, you know, the tiger is coming to eat that person, you know. Let's say he actually, so he will get the pain because I'm going to die now, sort of thing. He will run and probably climb up a tree. Let's say he climb up a tree, and over there maybe a tree house. Maybe there is a woman or there is someone he likes, right? And so having eaten something, he was happy about this this thing. And little while ago he was going to die because the tiger was chasing, so he got the painful. Now he has the pleasure because he's eaten and probably have sense pleasure, so whatever thing it is. So after a little while, probably he would reflect, you know, I was going to die over there and I had this pain, now I had this pleasure. And then thinking about these two, probably he come to the middle of that one. That is the middle feeling, is the neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable feeling that could occur this for that one. So, similarly, that let's say we have some sort of sickness that, you know, so sick, and then we got some medication, or then now I'm cured and I may be watching a TV or something, and then thinking about the same thing again and again, you can see that you come to the middle one. Oh, occasionally you automatically come to the middle feeling. But then you actually think that it will stay. You know, that man who was on the tree with that woman or someone, you see that he is so happy until the elephant comes and pop on the tree with both of them. Right? So the ignorance is there. And so the ignorance is that not knowing these five, one would actually see that I'm okay. The neutral feeling is as such. You know, if you sit down on a chair, well, it is not that much comfortable, no, you know, painful. Now you say, I'm happy, I'm okay with this one. Until, you know, that somebody comes and take that chair, or chair is broken, or something like that one. So that ignorance is there. So this you see, regarding these three feelings, we started with the painful feeling. You can see all three are now growing. Underlying tendency to aversion, underlying tendency to lust, underlying tendency to ignorance. All three are growing. That's the bad part. You know, that tendency growing is actually the accumulation of things. Now, then Buddha said, if he feels a pleasant feeling, he feels it attached. If he feels a painful feeling, he feels it attached. You see that when he got the painful feeling, he is actually seeing delighting in sense pleasures. Therefore, he feels that one attached as well. And if he feels neither painful nor pleasant feeling, he feels it attached. This bhikkhu is called an uninstructed worldling who is attached to birth, aging, death, who is attached to sorrow, lamentation, pain, displeasure, and despair. Who is attached to suffering, I say. So that is...
No, still it is attached.
It is attached, yes, that to suffering. That's the first paragraph of the second page. He is attached to all of them. You see, why he is actually attached to them? When he get the painful feeling, also he is attached. Bhikkhu, when the instructed noble disciple is contacted by a painful feeling, he does not sorrow, grieve or lament. He does not weep the best, beating his breast, and become distraught. He feels one feeling, a bodily one, not a mental one, because he is not thinking about that one any further. You know, he understands this is suffering already. And suppose they were to strike a man with a dart, but they would not strike him immediately afterward with a second dart, so that the man would feel a feeling caused by one dart only. So too, when the instructed noble disciple is contacted by a painful feeling, he feels one feeling, a bodily one, not a mental one. Bodily one actually sometimes you can tolerate, you know. The mental one is the problem. Mental one keeps coming. If you sleep, bodily one is gone, right? And then probably you may be still dreaming about the other ones. And most of the time, it is that the mental one that is actually creating quite a lot of problem. And even we are good, we don't actually feel a pain over here. We have the mental... So, being contacted by the same painful feeling, he harbors no aversion towards it. Since he harbors no aversion towards painful feeling, the underlying tendency to aversion towards painful feeling does not lie behind this. Being contacted by painful feeling, he does not seek delight in sense pleasures. For what reason? Because the instructed noble disciple knows of an escape from painful feeling other than the sense pleasures. You see that if you have the pain, there are so many things. For an Aryan, The liberated one is the liberation is the best. You know, getting out of that one, liberation is the best thing, and there's nothing stopping him. And for a normal person also, you have a painful feeling. If you can go into the first jhana concentration, you escape from that pain. You can meditate, even you have the, if you have developed your mind, although you have the body pain, you can go into the jhana concentration, you can completely immerse your body with rapture. So happy. And this one is actually ceasing.
Well, because the second heart is not there.
Second heart is not there, that's right. So that person, with the ability, but there may be certain sicknesses that you can't actually do it as well. Yeah. You know,
but,
it is so.
You are telling that even first heart, also he can, with the first jhana concentration, he can avoid certain level.
Yeah. Well, you see, you have a pain over here. You can go into the concentration and you are not paying any attention to this one. Therefore, although there is pain, the drugs do the same thing sort of thing. That there is pain, you don't feel it. Like that over here, you are happy, pleasurable, and so therefore you are have the pleasure over here rather than the pain over here. The pain is persisting probably, right? But those pleasure pulses probably kill that pain as well sometimes, that it is possible.
Yeah, that's... Because sometimes if you can take away the mindfulness about a particular wound or something like that, you can get away the pain. For example, when we get injections when we were small, and we tend to look
the other way around.
Concentration.
First dart is still there, because the first dart is the action, whatever happens. The second dart is the attachment or the aversion anyway.
The second dart is the mentally, is happening mentally.
What's happening, So that first dart is anything that happens at the moment. So the important thing is the reaction to that, isn't it? And with
that's what we should be doing. Not having the second dart. We should prevent having the second dart by all means. By either contemplating about the Dhamma, thinking about the escape in this method. Buddha is not asking someone to just, you know, become and suffer, keep on suffering sort of thing. Buddha is saying go for the pleasure one first, other than having the painful thing. And the pleasure one is also painful later on, one can actually see, but it is that the escape is to go to that one. So the Aryan disciple, he know the liberation, that the thorough, complete escape is known.
Until you get the realization, the second dart is there, because if your mindfulness is so high, so you would remember the Dhamma at that time, so that you wouldn't go attached or, you know, get angry or anything like that. The second, thinking about that, unless you are mindful, so it doesn't happen. So
So you really the person who is not given for a, not having that one for even for a second home, that one is an arahant. Persons to a certain extent they can actually escape because of the Buddha's instructions and their ability sort of thing.
Isn't it again impermanence? Like you have displeasure and you look for pleasure without understanding that. It remains. It doesn't remain.
If you understand that it is actually impermanent and sort of thing, yes, then you are not getting the second dart and sort of thing. Although their pain is there, you may not be having any attention to that one, because mentally you are active on the other world about this impermanent nature and suffering nature and so on. So he knows the liberation, because the instructed noble disciple knows of an escape from painful feeling other than sensual pleasure. Since he does not see delight in sensual pleasure, the underlying tendency to lust for pleasant feeling does not lie behind this. He understands as it really is, the origin and the passing away, the gratification, the danger and escape in the case of these feelings. Since he understands these things, the underlying tendency to ignorance in regard to neither painful nor pleasant feeling does not lie behind him. So he actually not having any underlying tendency For the pain, he doesn't have the aversion. For the pleasure, he does not have the
attachment.
And lustful, the underlying tendency. And there is no the ignorance. Nothing is actually growing and that one. The other worldly person is actually always growing these three in some sort of a way, direction. So, if he feels a pleasant feeling, he feels it detached. If he feels a painful feeling, he feels it detached. If he feels a neither painful nor pleasant feeling, he feels it detached. This bhikkhu is called a noble disciple who is detached from birth, aging and death, who is detached from sorrow, lamentation, pain, displeasure and despair, who is detached from suffering and sin. All the other ones are actually attached to suffering. And this person is detached from suffering. This bhikkhu is the distinction, the disparity, the difference between the instructed noble disciple and the uninstructed worldly. So there is this the gatha, the wise one learned does not feel the pleasant and painful mental feeling. This is the great difference between the wise one and the worldly. For the learned one who has comprehended Dhamma, who clearly sees this world and the next, desirable things do not provoke his mind. Towards the undesired, he has no aversion. For him, attraction and repulsion no more exist. Both have been extinguished, brought to an end. Having known the dust-free, sorrowless state, the transcender of existence rightly understands. So, it's a great, great discourse. And you can see that the name is actually the Dath, Salla. Remember that Salla, Raga Salla, Dosa Salla, Moha Salla, we are going to look at one today as well. So, you can see that the dart is actually going to the body. So, the Salla is something that is actually going to the body. It is with our blood, the complete taking over. And it's a very strong state of the mind. And when you reach that one, then, much of the trouble can be expected out of it. So, we can actually discuss the second part about the second unprofitable direction. So, keep in mind that we actually change our feelings. We get the painful feeling, we change it to the pleasure. Having displeasure, we go into the pleasure, and then we alter around. These three. So, the second unprofitable direction, I know this is difficult, but let us try. So, the contact as nutriment, that there is this perversion, that there is pleasure in the painful. The virtue and duty clinging, the bond of existence, the body tie of ill will, the taint of existence, the blood of existence, barb of hate, feeling as steadying point for consciousness passing on, the going a bad way through hate. This is the second direction. The first direction we actually covered last time in the discussion, and it's available in my web page as well. So here we have the contact as the nutriment. It's called, in Pali it's called passa ahara, the contact. We get this eye, and then there is form, and depending on the eye and the form, there is this eye consciousness. Meeting of the three is called contact. So this contact is actually, now think about this one as the mental contact. Having got this contact, physical contact, you got the mental contact about that particular thing. So when we get that one, when there is this perversion, that there is pressure in the painful, that whatever thing we actually see was actually painful, but we perceive that one as pleasurable. It is actually suffering, but we perceive that one as not suffering.
We say it is painful because of the suffering, isn't it?
Yes.
Otherwise it's not the real pain.
It's not the real pain. It is actually leading to that one. For example, a diabetic person, there is this sugar type, toffee or something. It's really good. Looking and feel like eating, and so the doctor has advised him, good man, if you eat this one, your leg has to be amputated or something like that one. But he does not think about it, or he does not see at the time of sin. So this craving comes in. He wants to eat that one. So this one is actually leading to the suffering. It is not that object itself is suffering, but this consequence is the suffering. So he does not see that suffering. The doctor's advice is not coming to his mind. And so there is this perversion. We will go a little bit detail in that one. First we will go through these terms. And then there is this the virtue and duty clinging. Virtue and duty clinging is that you see that, let's take that the toffee example over here itself. So there was this mental contact, and then there is this thing, and then I am now thinking that this is good for me, not as suffering. And now since I am happy with that one, what is my next moment? I having eaten that one, I would like that next moment to be happy like that, right? Is that the case? We want that one to be next one. So let's say I have the happiness, this you know, I have my family, I got money, I got car and all those things, I'm happy sort of thing. So I want to be more happier, right? And then I actually am happy to do any virtuous thing, and sort of because I want the future to be happier. So I want to make that one more happier, having heard that, you know, having this virtue sort of thing that made me, you know, go into a higher world, I can be a divine being sort of thing, and become so happier. So I'm actually, why I'm doing that one? If this moment of eating that toffee or something was bad, I'm not actually thinking about the future. I'm thinking about future happiness and sort of thing that because this was really good at this time. Similarly, our environment, our working environment and everything is fine and we are happy. We would like to continue on this one. That's the case. And then something terrible happened. You know, you are fired from the job. And this particular man, and having eaten that one, blood sugar gone up and he has to hospitalize or something. And so his world is now shattered. He can't have that, you know, his dream of the future thing. So he had this virtue thing, and then he actually now go into the bad thing, so that therefore he was actually bound to these things. Now he got this anger. I thought that, you know, this world is pleasurable, happy and so on. I thought that this is good, it's not suffering. Now he actually see that this visible suffering here and now, and then he angry. I'm angry about, you know, that this thing, they fired me or something like that one. Right, I thought that stock market is going up and so and so, and then I bought it, now it's gone down, you know, I'm angry. So that the anger is actually happening because of power. The pleasurable feeling now turned into anger. Now recall the previous discourse. What Buddha was saying, when you get the painful feeling, we seek delight in pleasure. So we are back to the first path. Where we are looking at the sense pleasure, and then the ragasala, you know, the attachment is coming for these things and we're holding to those things. All the bad things are growing over there. So there's no escape. We got the painful one, you know, the having the pleasure, we got the pain, and then we are back to seeking pleasure again.
That this anger is because of my clinging to the future or completely...
It is your clinging now
to the future
and to now that this moment,
well,
having cling to that one, and you actually hold the future. So both, so bhava, existence, you are holding the existence. I'm happy to be born, I'm happy to, you know, have another birth, and all those things are coming with this one. And again we are actually going to go into a little bit detail over there. And this contact, you know, by perceiving that this particular contact as pleasure, we get into that particular trouble. So I think we will jump back to the explanation further. So Buddha is actually now asking how the nutriment contact should be understood. Monks, how should the nutriment contact be known? Monk, a skin cow standing near a wall is bitten by insects living in the wall. Standing near a tree is bitten by insects living in the tree. Standing in the water is bitten by insects living in the water. and standing in open space is bitten by insects living in the air. In the vicinity of whatever the skin cow stands, she is bitten by the insects living there. Monks, I say the nutriment contact, it's translated as support contact, should be known in this manner. So it's like the skin cow. Our eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind, Buddha is saying that there is no escape over here. It is like a skin cow, always attached other insects and all those things. So the eye, there is this form, for the ear, there is this sound, for the nose, there is this smell. You know, the all those things are attacking us, like those insects are attacking.
Unless you get a samadhi.
Unless you get a samadhi.
Yeah, but
you...
there is an attachment too, but that's only one.
One, a mental one.
Yes.
And that one is less harmful.
Yeah.
The other one are really harmful. So this is like that one. So then Buddha is going in that discourse a little bit further. When the noble disciple thoroughly knows the nutriment contact, he thoroughly knows threefold feeling. Because of the contact, there is this feeling that we were talking about, pleasure, displeasure, nutriment. When threefold feeling are thoroughly known, I say the noble disciple has nothing further to do. He has actually attained the level.
This threefold feeling are the rising phenomena, passing?
No, the pleasure, displeasure, and the neither pleasure, non-pleasurable feeling, those three feelings. So, I will skip the other part. It's actually by mistake I have copied down that part over there. It's about, it is on the third part. It's not in the second part. And to get rid of this particular problem about the nutriment, that one has to develop something called painful way with swift acquaintanceship. That is the second patipada. It's just by second patipada, just to mention that it is actually, one has to contemplate about this the food, you know, what is happening to the food after eating, you know, sort of thing. And then the 32 parts of the body. And then you have this sabbaloki anabhidhata sanya, that is, you actually completely get rid of this the delightful feeling about delightful things about the whole world, worldly things. And then the impermanence. Impermanence nature has to be developed, and then the marana sanya, that is this the death contemplation about the death, that thing has to be developed, and his faculties should have been developed before, previously, you know, the faculty of the concentration, wisdom, and then the mindfulness effort. And all those five faculties have been developed, so he can actually go through this second path. So that's the way to get rid of it. And so because of that, this first one, that is this nutriment contact, we got the contact. And so there is this perversion called vipallasa. Amongst these are there are these four perversions of perception, four perversions of thought, four perversions of view. What for? To hold that in the permanent there is permanence, that in the impermanent there is permanence, is perversion of perception, thought and view. To hold that in the, actually there is a mistake, or there in the suffering there is not suffering, is the perversion of perception, thought and view. To hold that in the not-self, there is self, is a perversion. And for the perception, thought and the view. To hold that in the foul, there is fair, is a perversion of perception, thought and view. These are the four perversions of perception, thought and view. So you can see there are three things. There is this Pali word is vipallasa. The perversion, we are actually thinking the other way around. The truth is there, we are thinking the other way around. So there are three things. One is that the perception, and the other one is the thought, the third one is the view. So just to take a small example, let's take that beautiful object. So if you take a beautiful toffee or something, and we have the perception to hold the sign of that one. Maybe another person, a beautiful person, or maybe that food that you like to eat. So with the color and the smell and all those things, that you have the perception about that one. And because of that perception, then you are actually thinking about it. So there is this thought about that one, you know, that how this one is, how beautiful this one is, how tasty this one is, how I like, all those things, that thoughts are there. And then the third one is actually we tolerate the foul nature as fair in that way. You know, that toffee or whatever thing it is, if you actually really know that first patipada, where this what is happening to it after eating, it's a foul thing. You know, whatever the food, if you actually leave it for 1 week, you can see, you know, even the worms going out and all those bad things are happening. But that foul thing, we actually regard that one as a good one. So we tolerate. Even it may be stingy, you know, it could be smelly. But we tolerate it as a good thing. So that is the view. So there are these three differences. This is a perception and my thinking. So the thought is there and my toleration. And whatever the, you know, the human beings, for example, you can see that ourselves, if you think about the 32 parts, you know what it is. But we tolerate it. Even our body, smelly, all those things. That's why we clean all the body all the time. But we tolerate it. This is good. So divine beings do not tolerate this body. They don't like it at all. Brahmas don't have this sort of body at all. Even the subtle body of the divine beings is different for them. So there is this, that is asubha subha, that is this the first part happened. So second part also you can think the same way. Then regarding this, regarding the contact that I have, this it is actually, this particular toffee is actually suffering for me. If I'm diabetic and if I'm going to eat it, and then, you know, my consequences are there. So therefore this suffering, so I have the thought about this one, but I actually not thinking about this in that way. I actually accept it. So I hold that one. So I get this the perception that this is sukha, that I am happy with this one. It's not suffering. That gives me pleasure. Although that if he's a diabetic person, if he eats, then he can expect that suffering, you know, the immediate suffering can be seen for certain people. And take a person who takes this injections, you know, that the drug people who are taking drugs, right? So they inject that onto their body. And they are not thinking that it is actually suffering. They are thinking it is pleasure. So he has got the perception about this thing and he injects it. And then he is thinking that this is pleasurable, but he can see that how much he is actually suffering. So he tolerates that suffering. So it is his view. He holds that view very heavily, that this is okay for me. Now if you actually see those people, if they are not getting that drug next day, they are suffering. As soon as the drugs, you know, the strongness gone away, they are suffering again. They can't live. So, but they have to hold it. So that's their view. So there are three things: perception, thought, and the view.
Yeah, it is quite interesting because now I was thinking this question quite a few months ago as well. And what we do here is we cling to short-term pleasures and forget about long-term suffering. For any sort of thing, that is the phenomenon.
That is it. Yes. That is it.
For
not seeing the suffering nature, not really knowing the suffering nature, whatever thing coming in our, you know, eye, nose, tongue, body, this is the cow, the skin cow over here, whatever thing coming up, we are happy to accept. Because we have been accepting these things for a long, long time. So whatever the mental construction that we have, this is good for me. Even the Buddha said, like the doctor said for the diabetic man, you know, your leg has to be amputated. But this greediness is coming up. He can't. Even the Buddha said that these things are suffering. It's not yours. You know, take it out. Don't use that one. We can't. Because of that, we are not actually completely have the understood the suffering nature.
because we practice to, we have practiced to, I mean, please the six senses.
Senses.
That's one.
I think it is much better than, sorry, much bigger than that one. I think that, we know, even though we know that it's a pleasurable thing, we forget about or we ignore about the consequences after that, which last or which is a bigger part than the, what we
yes.
having at the moment. And mm-hmm. so that is we call adhina.
Yep.
We actually, that is the problem, I believe, because we tend to cling to the present moment
mm.
and forget about the adhina in the future.
Yes, that is the ignorance.
That's ignorance. The ignorance, yeah.
Mm, that is actually the fourth path. Now we are talking about the second path today. It is the fourth path is actually doing that one. Third and the fourth one doing that one for you. Because that volition, volitional formation, because we have trained our mind in this way all the time, it is called wrong contemplation. We have done the wrong contemplation for a long, long time. Therefore, this one is actually now constructing with those wrong views that impermanent things, we regard that as permanent. So there is this avidya, ignorant. So with the ignorant, you see, you are taken with that one, taken down with that one. It is actually, and we are coming to that paragraph later on as that in the same sentence that it is happening.
What yeah, is that's what we do. That's what the reason that you try to develop your wisdom, isn't it? Because
that's why we do the wisdom there yeah, to get yeah. rid of this one. We need ignorance, to yeah. do the contemplations mm. to do that one. So actually, these the what. Can actually take you out of this perversion is actually the contemplation about the feeling. In the four foundations of mindfulness meditation that we do, the contemplation about the feeling part will take you out of the perversions. This perversion, this is this perversion in this particular path is that we are thinking it is not suffering, while it is suffering. So, four foundations of mindfulness take you out of the whole four. Vipallasa, you know, the perversions and the about feeling part take you out of the second path problem, second path, wrong perception. And then you can see, and we'll touch upon this one, and because of this vipallasa, this is this perversion, and we are now thinking that not suffering, that is pleasurable for me, and I actually hold the future. That is the point that I am actually holding the future very thoroughly. Because this is pleasurable now, how can it be? Because I do not know that impermanent nature and I see this one as pleasurable, then since it is pleasurable, I hold the future. How can it be in the future also? This is pleasurable. It is pleasurable now, therefore it is pleasurable. We infer to the future that this is pleasurable. We hold it, thoroughly holding it. So we go into the second one. Second one is, you can see it is the virtue and duty clinging. See that what is going on over here. Virtue and duty clinging is twofold. With that with regards to virtue and that with regards to one purified. Here someone is of the view that by means of this virtue or duty or penance or divine life, I will become a god. And there I shall play, delight and sport with doe-footed nymphs. This is the virtue and duty with respect to virtue. That's so he's actually thinking by this practice. You know, this is the virtuous, this is the penance, you know, that self-mortification. Some people stand from one leg, you know, that sort of thing to do sort of thing. In India, probably you have heard. So by having this austerity measures, he thinks that I'll be born in the divine world and I have this, you know, they describe this at the doe-footed nymphs, you know, that the divine, sort of a divine beings, and so they play and sort of thing, because he has heard that there are existence over there, so let me practice. Why? Because he understand right over here, wrongly understand this is pleasurable. So let me have the more pleasure in the future. I'm happy to multiply it, you know. So, and that is one part. The other one is actually, here someone misapprehend virtue, thus, it is by virtue that one is purified, by virtue that one finds outlet, by virtue that one is liberated, that one surmounts pleasure. This is the virtue and duty with respect to one purified. So one is actually thinking because of the virtue alone, because when you actually have the virtue to the highest extent, you actually think because of the virtue, you control your faculties sort of thing. So therefore that, you know, that cow's problem, skin cow's problem is not coming to him. So he thinks because he's not getting these thoughts, because of the virtue, he thinks this is the way I can purify. The complete purify. Virtue is important. Virtue is very important, as you can see. Even for that person, there was this control of faculties and all those things. But from the virtue alone, you can't actually attain Nibbana. It is those fire we mentioned, the arising phenomena, passing away phenomena, the satisfaction, danger and the escape regarding the matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. That has to be known, thoroughly known. The person who knows that one is the stream mentor. He knows about those five, these five aspects. Having known those five aspects, so he understands that by virtue alone I can't do this. So by clinging to virtue, won't actually do that one.
Is the virtue sort of guarantee that you have a good life?
Fair passage. Yes, yes.
It's a guarantee, is it?
Well, if you're actually maintaining it with a correct view. But if you have the virtue, but if you have a wrong view, then it is possible. But normally,
what
person
do you mean
who,
the wrong view?
Well, you can have the michaditti, you know that.
Yeah, but you can't say like that because. Because since we are Buddhists, we think like that. But the other people from other religions, they do good things. Those are virtues too.
But they have the wrong view. They can have the wrong view. For example, someone might be thinking that by standing from one foot for this much time, I will worn out my former, you know, bad habits and bad things, and then the whatever thing current now will be gone as well, worn out. So he got the wrong view. So because of the wrong view, Buddha said that this person can be born in hell sort of thing.
Right, okay, I know.
So he got the virtue. He's not doing anything bad now. But it is that he may be self, you know, the mortification that he's actually harming his body and having these painful feelings as well. So virtue alone. Virtue is very important. Have the virtue, because virtue is the one that allowing you to have the equanimity, you know, the equanimity level maintained, and this whole thing is actually maintained on the virtue. Very important. But clinging to that one is bad. That's what Buddha is saying. This is not the virtue, it's the virtue clinging. So
does this mean that guarding? Does virtue mean like guarding yourself from?
Sealer. So you actually refrain. The Buddhist one is actually refraining from killing, stealing, sexual,
so
that
it's
all sort
like
of thing.
Aware that these are bad things and sins.
Mm-hmm.
You guard yourself, you control yourself.
It leads to, because of the virtue, it leads to the guarding yourself. The indriya samvara, you know, the controlling of faculties. It occur because of the
virtue.
So virtue is helping you.
Yeah, that's the virtue from the one part that you're talking about, sila. But how about the virtue that you get from dana and all this, donating these things?
That is actually different. That is actually not virtue. That is actually, you know,
merits only.
No. It is actually, what you get in the giving. You are actually giving up the craving for that particular thing, right? So you are actually giving up, donating the, removing the craving. So you are actually going for the concentration, chitta. So it's called chitta samadhi, you know, that it is actually a shiksha, chitta shiksha. It's actually about this, the thought concentration type thing. You lead to that one. So it is different. So you actually, in virtue also, there is this giving up as well. So it's, let's say you are actually giving a life, you know, a cow going to die, you actually, you know, give that person, that cow's life by saving the cow, sort of thing. So that giving is there as well, in that way. So,
but sometimes sometimes a problem for me to understand, because I know people go and do these things, but it's just for they want to get merits out of it.
That is clinging to, clinging to the consequences of that. Is what
so that really, then it really works then?
It is working because that it is, there is that, it is the merit he is doing, not a demeritorious thing. So he is doing a meritorious thing. So meritorious things has got that meritorious consequences. So therefore it is there. So if you are not clinging, you get the multiplication factor very high of the result.
Yes.
But if you are clinging, you are getting something, but it's not that big. So,
because the sometimes one may go and release one of these cows, and then we'll kill
another one to eat,
mouse or you know,
something
like that. So,
So now there is this the bond of existence, Bhava Yoga. Now remember that particular person was actually having the perversion. This, you can't actually simply take these paragraphs alone. You need to think about the history of that person at that time. He's going through the same path. So he had the perversion that this is not suffering. This is pleasurable. Okay, and then he's actually going to multiply it. So he has the clinging as well. Now he is actually a person who is holding the future. Holding right now, holding the future. So that leads to the bond of existence called Bhava Yoga. And Buddha explained that one. It's actually what is part applicable to this discussion is the bond of existence. But we cover all of that one. And here it says, monk, these are the four bonds. What for? They are the bond of sensuality. That is coming from the first path. The bond of existence. The bond of views. The bond of ignorance. Monks, for special knowledge, exact comprehension, exhaustion, and dispelling of these four bonds, the Noble Eightfold Path should be developed and made much. So, and Buddha explained how the Eightfold Path to be developed in this case as well. Buddha said that he has to develop the Eightfold Path, right view, relying on seclusion, non-excitement, for ceasing and giving up. It's a Viveka Nisitam, Viraga Nisitam, the Vosarga Parinam, maturity.
What are the Pali words for this, for bond of sexuality, bond of existence and so forth?
So Bhava Yoga is the one that we are using. Kama Yoga is the first one.
Yeah.
And then the Ditti, Ditti Yoga. And then the ignorance is the Avijja Yoga. So this one can actually completely get out of. Buddha said that special knowledge has to be developed. It is actually the four abiding, for Brahma Vihara. You know, the Metta, Karuna, Mudita, Upekkha, that has to be developed to get out of this one. And they are called yoga because they yoke being to suffering and do not allow them to escape. You see, it is on my own action. I like that toffee. You know, I like these pleasurable things. I hold it for the future. This pleasure, I am holding that for the future. And I am happy to do my duty thinking to, you know, to become more and more a divine being or whatever thing it is. So I am actually bound to the same thing. You know, this world, whatever the thing that gives me pleasurable things, I am bound. So human body, divine body, you know, sort of thing. So it is the it doesn't allow you to escape because it is your own binding. It's the bond. Your own binding actually made you keeping staying over here. The next one is bit difficult. It's actually the body tie of ill will. Vyapada kaya krantha. So this one we touch upon a little bit. If you go through this one carefully, you need to read this one maybe 10 times or 15 times to understand this wording. There's a really big thing in that one. One steadied in clinging to sensual desire ties with covetousness. So he wants to have certain, you know, these things as mine. This is the body tie of covetousness that is actually happening in the first part, not happening in the second part. Concerned for agreeable form that are agreeable and pleasing is what is chosen. That is his volition. Whatever the manapa, you know, the agreeable forms, he actually regards these things as mine. He actually holding them. So this pleasure is actually holding. Among the wishful and agreeable is the body tie of covetousness. So he bound to that toffee or whatever thing it is over there. If you do not like that one, then the anger part is coming up. So one that is agreeable, I am bound and I am holding, future and everything is actually being held. Now something happened, my future is shattered, and then I am angry about that one. So there are these four of them, and the virtue clinging is there, and then the four ties are actually happening in that one. So this one actually Mahakachana, this is the cognizance first instance in the five stands of sense desires. First instance is over here is that you got the first attack. You know, we have the first attack, second attack, third attack, and so many attacks. We got the first attack regarding that form, maybe a beautiful person. We got the first attack, that this beautiful thing. And there is this contact. With that contact, there is this feeling. So we get another attack, you know, the feeling attack. And then our thoughts about that one, thinking, perception, all are attacking us. The first attack is the same over there. So we say the first instant is that one. And then when we have the first instance of this one, when someone is a contemplate of gratification they are in, so he's actually not thinking about these things. He got the attack, the eye contact, and he's thinking about it. Then owing to that choice of his, many evil, unprofitable ideas have parallel occurrences. You have seen someone passing by when you are walking, and you actually grab the signs of that person, and now you are actually thinking about that person and all those things. That person is gone, and this one is actually, because that his volition is there. Regarding the food also, the same thing. Sound also, the same thing. That keep coming. Keep thinking about that in with the same volition. And because his gratification, he knows the satisfaction. Whatever satisfaction, that little satisfaction he is holding that one. And so when he is bound by lust through sensual desire as defilement, he can be done with Mara desires. This is the one that Padmasiri was talking about little while ago. He got the first attack. He was actually now holding this one. He does not know this is impermanent. He got the volition, all these forms. He has gone through the third path, and he is actually going to the fourth path. He is actually holding this as permanent as well. So he is now ignorant. So anything can be done. Although he actually sort of see that this is little less pressure, he can't control it because he's gone far away. You know, all the things has happened. So that's that part. And from the effort, the medicine is the effort over here. By doing, if we have the effort, we can get rid of this one. And now there is this taint of existence consisting in clutching at reappearance. The characteristic of the taint of existence is the determining of a physical or mental body by aspiration, ties and determinative acts. That is this bhava-sav. So we have actually now formed, we have refined these things, holding things. Well, this is not suffering, I am happy with. When I am actually taking this as mine as well, I am happy to have a human form, I am happy to have a dog form. You know, all the formations, I am happy to be a divine being, or whatever thing now it actually has occurred to him. He got that one in thoroughly in his mind. You know, by doing these actions, he got the existence. What was existence? That he was actually holding all those things as mine in that particular time. And there is, he thinks that foul things, he is thinking fair. For suffering things, he is saying, thinking of suffering. And the not self things, he is saying, this is self. He regards those as self. And impermanent things, he thinks are regarding they are as permanent. So he is holding all the perversions. And he is actually now, he is out of control, you know, that it has formed to grown up to that level, you know. And remember in the previous step, they said the Mara can do whatever thing he wants to do at that particular time. So similarly, now he is going beyond that step, not reversible. And
does this mean that Mara, this real Mara,
Well, this is actually Klesha Mara over here. Klesha, your own doing. And then the other Mara also can do whatever thing.
And influence.
Influence, yeah. Because it is that stage. So it is touching at the reappearance. You can read the characteristic of the taint of existence is the determining physical and mental body by aspiration. I want to be this. I want to be. You see that one person who is actually behaving like a cow. You know, he had this the way. The another one was actually behaving like a dog. You know, so going for this thing, and this person went with friend and said to the Buddha, the other person, that this person is actually behaving in this way. He has got this is virtue. Is this the virtue clinging? And so, what is his next birth? And Buddha said, "Don't ask." The three times Buddha said, "Don't ask." So this person insisted, and the Buddha said, "Well, because of his actions." Lead into this cow form, and he will be a cow. You know that this thing, and then that person cried. So that those are the determining characteristics. So if we actually have this killing other people and sort of thing, and we can expect that ourselves being killed by the others and sort of thing. So the hell, animal realm, departed. Those are the suitable places. But if you have the virtue and you are maintaining, not killing, not stealing, all those things, then a good place can be expected because that the actions are leading to that world.
How do you know it's the praise of
it? Well, it is that because of these attachments, you cling to something. Let's say your eye is bound to something. Okay, maybe the food or whatever thing it is. Eye, ear, nose, anything can be bound. At that particular time when it is bound, this is the danger. If you die, if you are not a stream enterer, you can be born in the hell, animal realm, or plane of departed. So that the attachment at the time was important.
But if you have done any other virtuous things, that life could be very short.
Yeah, you can get out very quickly, sort of thing. Yeah. So, well, best thing is to, by the time of death, contemplate about the Buddha, think about the Buddha, or your own virtue, and sort of thing. So, so now this one is actually now going further. The taint of existence come to abundance. That is that it is grown much. It is called the flood of existence. Now you can imagine the flood is coming. You know, everywhere you are in the middle of the house, and the water is coming everywhere. So the Baba Oga. And when you have that one, then the barb of hate, dosa salla, flood of existence have entered the inclination, and are accompanied by underlying tendency, it is called the barb of hate. So that person was actually holding this, remember that his path, he was actually thinking that things that are suffering, he was actually holding that is not suffering. But later on, he got some evidence that, you know, that tsunami came and destroyed my house or something like that one. Now, he got the hate on that one. He's going in the bad path on that the hate direction. When you do that one, then the another really bad thing happening to us, it is actually feeling as a steadying point for consciousness passing on. Consciousness gripped by the barb of hate is steadied on feeling. You know, while there was a contact. Remember, this discussion started with a contact. So, because of the contact, there is, what is the consequence? Because of the contact, there is feeling. So, our mind is now holding to that feeling. I am going through the hate, but my mind is holding to that pleasurable feeling. Right? So, this is very bad. This path is really bad. Because you started with something, you perceive something as, you know, good, it's not suffering, and it's actually, you actually see the suffering, the things that you do not like to see, do not like to hear, and all those things, and I am going through the wrong path, hate path, but I am holding to the former feeling, that the toffee, you know, the holding the toffee in that feeling, pleasurable feeling, I am holding to it. I like that toffee, but I got a bad toffee now, you know, sort of thing. And our mind is always hanging into something. That this is called vijnana sthiti, jnana over here, one of the knowledges. Our mind is either hanging to the form or to the feeling, or to third part, the second part to the feeling, first part to the form. Third part, we are actually hanging into the perception. And the fourth part, we are hanging into the volitional formation. So always consciousness hanging into that one. But the problem is, you can't hang for a long time, impermanence nature. So there is this suffering. Although we think we can maintain certain things, even by meditation, you know, the Brahma level, you actually go thinking, I can maintain this one for a long, long time. The neither perception, non-perception level. Thinking that it is actually, so this is good, I can hold it. That is this vijnana sthiti, you can actually hold it to that level and stay for a long time. It is impermanent. Not knowing the impermanent, we hold. So whatever thing we do, we can't hold as well. So because of this one, then we are going through the bad way through hate. By means of feeling as steadying point for consciousness, one go the bad way through hate. It is the measureless states. We can use the measureless states to get rid of this this path. So you can see this one is very heavy. All four paths are really heavy. Ten Dhamma, you need to remember from starting from where I started. Now why I selected this one is to couple with the other discourse as well. You see, remember the last time we were saying that it is happening to us, you know, you're going through one path and going through another path, and if you know where you are actually traveling, then you can actually determine, you know, what my course is. For example, I am angry, think that I have come through this path, this second path that what we discussed today, I have come through. So then try to trace back which one I am actually holding. With the anger, the difficult path for someone to determine is what I am actually holding. I am angry, yes, I am angry on this one. So why I am angry? When you think about the anger, you keep on thinking about the angry nature, angry things and sort of thing that leads to this one. And but you do not know the root cause of this anger. But if you trace back, you can say, oh, I am holding that something, you know, that this feeling, I'm holding to this, I'm coming through this second path, I had some sort of a contact that I hold that one as not suffering, and you can trace back. So this actually gives you the knowledge. And in the meditation time, if you have this knowledge, you have to use this one in the meditation time as well as the other time. If you use this one, you can see as soon as you detect this one, your mind is actually released from that miserable state. And you are in the jhana. You are in the concentration and the high level. It's a really good, opposed to this one, there is this medicine I mentioned, some of them time to time. There are four good paths over there. And there is a parallel path about the adosa as well. Another 10 paths are there regarding that one as well. So we have this bad seven paths, and there's seven good paths. So each path has got 10 dhamma, in the 10 defilements over here, and as opposed to this one, there are good 10 ones. So when you actually, you can't actually take this one unless your mind actually expanded, but try to understand at least the first path and the second path. That will do a really good job for you, because that, as you can see, the Buddha said in the feeling, first discourse, when you have the displeasure, we look for the pleasure. When you have the pleasure, well, you can see in this discourse, you are going for the displeasure. So we, like that person, you know, bound by the rope, that like the dog that go through that, you know, pole around it, we go through that.
First part and second part.
Very heavily. If you understand the first path and the second path, you know that this is actually happening, because then you tend to go into the concentration. You know, you have the ability to go into the concentrations. And with that ability, maintaining that ability, then you understand the third one, the fourth one with the help of the Dhamma, that the Samadhi Bhavana Sutta. And actually I found this one last December sort of thing, because this was not available on Sinhala. That one I did not know actually existence of this one either, and then I actually got down the book from the Politics Society recently, and the English version, yeah, it was not translated for a long, long time. It, this Dhamma is buried in these two Sutra Pitakas, in the Petakopadesa and Nettipakkarana, which is not unfortunately commonly available, not commonly spoken, this one. And when I actually read this one, I was thinking, why didn't I have this one for this long time? For 30 years I did not have this one. You know, such an explanation going through this one. Bit hard, but if you understand it, then you actually see the path. Then we will stop for today then.